Analysis as Khamenei's envoys scramble for a deal, Iran prepares for all-out war. Just as observers do not know what Trump will decide or when, in Iran too working assumptions are mixed with speculation, with all scenarios considered. While a limited American strike might provoke a tit-for-tat response, it could also spark chaos across the Middle East. By Zvi Burrell. The mixture of reports and statements that circulated over the weekend about the prospect of war with Iran is far from answering the burning question, will there be a war, and when? As in the days before to the second round of talks in Geneva, the air is filled with contradictory statements, ranging from Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi's claim Friday that he hoped to present a draft to U.S. negotiators in the next 2-3 days to U.S. President Donald Trump's remark that day that he was considering a limited military strike but still hoped for a negotiated solution. Meanwhile, Axios reported a senior U.S. official as saying that the Trump administration is prepared to consider a proposal that allows Iran token nuclear enrichment if it leaves Tehran with no possible path to a nuclear bomb. These statements may corroborate what Araghchi told CNBC, that the United States had not demanded zero uranium enrichment in Iran, and that the discussion revolves around how Iran should prove that it does not intend to acquire nuclear weapons. Although the talks in Switzerland ended after only a few hours, the diplomatic efforts did not cease for a moment. Araghchi and Ali Larijani, the secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, who were tasked with formulating Iran's political response, held a series of talks in recent days with Arab, Russian, and Chinese leaders to lay the groundwork for that draft proposal. After Araghchi reported that Iran and the United States had agreed on principles, the challenge now is to translate these fundamentals into agreements that may appear technical on the surface. But these technicalities lie at the heart of the ideological conflict, as they define who won and who lost. These details will include inspection arrangements at nuclear sites, define the minimum, or token, amount of uranium Iran can enrich, specify the proof Iran must provide that it does not intend to develop nuclear weapons, and outline the compensation Iran can demand and receive from the United States. Here too, more detail will be required beyond a general agreement to lift some of the sanctions. Iran is expected to demand the immediate release of billions of dollars of the more than $100 billion frozen in banks worldwide, a timetable for the release of the remaining funds, a clear plan for lifting sanctions, and, crucially, a commitment to remove the threat of attack. The 10-to-15-day deadline that Trump set for Iran to submit its proposals inspires little confidence. Both Iran and Israel remember the 2 weeks granted for diplomacy last June, which was cut to less than 30 hours before the United States launched an attack. However, just as observers in the West and in Arab countries do not know what Trump will decide or when, in Iran too working assumptions are mixed with speculations and conjectures, with all scenarios accounted for. If Iran is indeed preparing a draft proposal that could serve as a realistic basis for swift talks culminating in an agreement, it is assuming the diplomatic path remains viable and that Tehran can avert an attack on its territory. Conversely, the prevailing assumption in conservative Iranian media is that the American show of force, and the Israeli threat to join it, is no longer merely a bargaining chip or pressure tactic, a form of gunboat diplomacy meant to extract nuclear concessions. Instead, it is seen as an effort to engineer a strategic shift in the regional balance of power and neutralize Iran's long-term deterrent capability by denying it a second strike option. This conservative Iranian assumption attributes the end of the June war to Iranian deterrence and massive missile fire on Israel rather than Trump's intervention. The conclusion is that Iran can show flexibility on the nuclear issue but not on missiles, as any concession in this area would constitute a strategic blow to national security, permanently weakening Iran. Iranian conservatives infer two main possible courses of action from this conclusion. In the first, a U.S. attack limited in time and scope would be met with an equally limited Iranian response, allowing each side to claim it achieved its objective. Trump would declare that he damaged Iran's strategic capabilities, while Iran could claim it did not capitulate to imperialist power and succeeded in blocking it. The other, far more dangerous scenario is that Iran would respond to a limited attack with a widespread, multi-front assault, including activating its proxies in Iraq, Lebanon, and Yemen, striking shipping lanes in the Persian Gulf and blocking the Strait of Hormuz. From there, it is not difficult to imagine the scope of the American response, which would escalate from a limited attack to an all-out war. Not long ago, Iran's top military commander, Syed Abdulrahim Mousavi, was quoted on the ASR Iran website as saying that Iran has changed its defense doctrine and shifted to an attack doctrine in which our action will be swift, decisive, and unlimited by American considerations. This doctrine, if indeed adopted by the regime, is not aimed at defeating the United States but at escalating the costs and damages of war for the United States, Israel, and Iran's Arab neighbors, particularly the Persian Gulf states. The assumption is that such a scenario could initially deter the United States from launching such a campaign, and if launched, lead to its rapid conclusion due to its high costs. These interpretations and statements represent the positions of influential power brokers within the Iranian government, among whom Arachi and Larijani must navigate to secure Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's consent for the final version of the draft. The fact that the Supreme Leader approved holding negotiations, after having declared that he saw no point in talking with the United States, does not shed light on the scope of the mandate he granted the negotiating team or which formulation will receive his blessing, as he too will have to promote and support the agreement. The internal political struggle could still significantly influence how negotiations proceed, and brings to mind the period before the original nuclear agreement was signed in 2015, when radical elements lashed out at the negotiating team, which included Arachi, until Khamenei intervened and ordered a halt to the criticism, which was indirectly aimed at him as the one who approved the agreement. The problem is that these military scenarios, whether anticipating a limited attack or an all-out war, attempt to assess or predict the nature of the confrontation without offering an exit plan, or at least clarifying how the diplomatic route could resume afterward, if at all. For the United States, the range of desired goals and achievements spans from destroying missiles and what remains of nuclear sites to toppling the regime. For Iran, however, this is an ideological war whose true purpose is the elimination of the Islamic Republic and the end of this chapter in the country's history. From this perspective, the Iranian proposal will hold great importance beyond a practical work plan for neutralizing the threat. In the eyes of the Iranian leadership, it is meant to serve as a litmus test for the ideological intentions of the United States and the possibility of reaching any agreement with the Great Satan.